Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Jason Williams to break down what went wrong in Cleveland for the Cincinnati Bengals and talk about their upcoming matchup with the Carolina Panthers. So to put things in perspective, Jason and I both kind of were like, I don't know if they can beat the Browns. And then last week we had a kind of change of thought later on in the week. And then Bengals went to Cleveland. And I don't know if they, like, ever got off the bus. I mean, in all seriousness. Like, I haven't seen the Bengals look that flat and that, like, just straight up outmatched in a long time. And this is not the Cleveland Browns of 2 years ago. They had won two games. So it's not Jason and I, you know, being overly negative. It's just that was a massive letdown for the Bengals. And it leads us all back to the conversation of why is this team so incredibly inconsistent?
Yeah, Kels, like, I think you really nailed it right there. They didn't get off the bus. And I've just trying to process this, and I'm sure many Bengals fans and the Bengals themselves are as well, and trying to put it behind them. But I keep thinking, like, that was like old Bengals, the way they played. That was like a Keely Smith, John Kitna era type of Bengals performance where they don't get off the bus. They can't catch, they can't pass, they can't throw, they can't kick, they can't do anything right. And it's like, and again, I understand you have those types of games, and especially the way the NFL is set up, and we talked a lot about that, but it's like, that's not what the defending AFC champions, what you would expect from them. Look, you know, understand you're going to lose, you're going to play bad here and there or whatever, but that was really bad. And you know this has been a week of introspection and trying to figure out what's going on. And I thought you really, you know, and I thought you had a really nice piece today on Cincinnati.com as we record here on Thursday morning, or yesterday or whatever, on really breaking down, you know, what's wrong with the running game and Joe Mixon. And I'm glad you did that, because I think as this thing keeps going on along and 4-4 and the calendar's turned to November, it's not early anymore. And this running game, we've seen enough of it now to say it just may not be there this year. But anyway, I think that's really going to – I think a bigger spotlight is going to be shined on that and those issues there as this thing kind of heads down the last few months of the season.
So to add on to that, the reason I did that yesterday is because the more and more I think about this Bengals situation, what really throws me for a loop here, and that I don't think is talked about through the mainstream media as much as it, I guess it's, you know, it's, people would rather spend time talking about, like, what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady than, like, talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. But here's the thing, and I kind of asked it to Joe Burrow, and he gave me his classic answer. But I still wanted to ask him this. This is why it's, I guess, probably super maddening for the fans, but, like, perplexing to me as someone who covers this team every single day. Like, do you see the Buffalo Bills laying eggs like this? Yeah, I know they lost one game, but do you go out there and ever think that, you know, Buffalo is going to get outmatched at the line of scrimmage and not have a defensive or offensive game plan that will be able to beat their opponent? No. Same thing with Kansas City. You know, you have complete confidence in A, their coaching staff, and B, that their quarterbacks will just make a play, or their defenses will be opportunistic enough, and their offense at the end of the day is gonna win. And what blows my mind is that I think, and that, again, I'm not trying to be overly negative, but I do want to drive this point home. the Bengals should be better than 4-4. They 100% should be better. They returned all of their starters at the skill positions. They upgraded their offensive line. They returned almost all of their starters on defense. And yes, have they been hit by injuries? Yes, but that is also life in the NFL. The Bills are playing without their top cornerback, Tre'Davious White. You know, the Baltimore Ravens continue to win with, you know, 4 and 5 starters out each game every time, it feels like. And that's where I am confused with the Bengals, because yes, Burrow had his appendectomy, but they should be better as an offense and as a team. You don't win the AFC and return almost your entire team and upgrade the one position that was your Achilles heel and be sitting at 4-4 at the bye. That's just not, and I understand every NFL season is different, but this is the Bengals win now window. And I don't understand. And maybe last year it was a little bit of fool's gold and Joe Burrow just got really hot and it kind of masked some of their issues. We'll have to wait and see how the season plays out. But, I mean, you have to start wondering, like, what is this team?
Well, I think the answer to that right now is they are who they're showing us that they are, and that's that they're an underachieving, you know, 500, around 500 type of team. And they've given us no reason to believe. And look, hey, this is my column after the game, and I'll be the first to admit, you know, a columnist, like, hey, they had me kind of believing in them and thinking like they had turned the corner. And you heard Zach Taylor talk about, hey, I told you guys, hey, just be patient. We'll get this thing going. And, you know, Kelsey, it's one thing if, you know, hey, we all know that Cleveland's had the Bengals number and all that. And so it would have been one thing if they would have gone up there and it had been a knockdown drag out and lost by, you know, a last second field goal or, you know, something like that. I think
they weren't even competitive.
But they weren't even competitive. That's right. 100 yards in the first half, 0 points. And, you know, how many times they talked about a fast start. And again, and I think the problems are, it's again, it, all the things that we had talked about after Pittsburgh, after Dallas, after Baltimore. And, you know, two games they win against New Orleans and Atlanta. And you're like, oh, okay. All right. Those things. Oh, all right. You know, the running game still wasn't fixed. But, okay, there's other things happening now that they've addressed and things are back. Or it's all back on the table now. All those issues are now all back on the table. You know, the offensive line is a swinging gate, 5 sacks. You know, the running game still not good. And I think you have to seriously – you know, start to really now, and you and I have alluded to this earlier in the season, but is Joe Mixon, is his career, you know, what's the right term I'm looking for? Is it almost, I mean, has he run the life cycle of an NFL running back, which isn't very long? And, I think at this point, the way this thing has gone, that's a question that I think needs to seriously be raised. I mean, between us talking, and you know, if they can't get something going in the running game, I just think that they are who they are, or they're showing us that they are, and that's that. You know, that these struggles are going to continue, and they're going to continue to be up and down. I think they're going to tease us some more, and they're going to win a couple games, and then they're going to, you know, fall back again. And it feels like that's what this season is. And it's going to be, because Kelsey, and again, like, it feels like a broken record saying this, but they're 4-4 through so far, the easy part, so to speak, of the schedule. And why should anyone trust that they're going to just magically turn this around? When you look ahead and see Kansas City and Tennessee and Baltimore and, you know, Buffalo and this Browns team again, it's going to have Deshaun Watson when they come here. And
yeah, and Tampa.
Yeah, like, and Tampa, which, yeah, at Tampa, like, you know, Tampa's been a little bit like the Bengals. You know, there's a lot of high expectations and they haven't performed very well. But Yeah, like you're going on the road there. So I think they are what they are. And it sounds really weird. Just, I mean, I think they are what they've shown us so far. And that's an up and down, inconsistent 500, hovering around 500 type of team. It reminds me, you know, Kelsey, of sort of, you know, it feels like that they're still, they're like a fringe playoff team. So it feels like this is a team that gets into playoffs and they're one and done. That's the way this team feels right now. Is that, they're right there on the edge of the playoffs type of a team that they're going to get in, and it's going to be one and done, like the Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer days of the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't mean like it's going to consistently be like that. I meant this season feels a lot like some of those seasons that they had back under Marvin Lewis.
I mean, so speaking of the playoffs, the Bengals are going to have to get to 10 wins to make the playoffs. So they have 4 right now. So that's saying that they're going to get
6 Where's 6 more wins come from? Where does 6 more wins come from? I mean, I think, and I wrote this in my predictions column today on Cincinnati.com that, I think you looked at this Carolina game before the season and thought, oh, that's the easiest win of the season. Or you could argue that. And now I think they win. But the fact that we're sitting here thinking like, I mean, am I, 100% fully like, yep, that's an easy win? Heck no. And we'll get into that in a sec. And so if you think that what should be your easiest win of the year could be a battle, and again, I think they win, go down that calendar, that schedule, and tell me where are 6 more wins going to come from? That's a tough thing to come up with right now, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I completely agree. And just going back to the run game thing, like the reason I wrote the story about Joe Mixon is because the Bengals have become such a one-dimensional offense through 8 games, where if Burrow doesn't throw for almost 500 yards, he's only sacked once or twice, and he doesn't turn the ball over, they win. But when they can't do anything in terms of Ja'Marr Chase misses one game, they have no threat down the field. T. Higgins wasn't getting open nearly enough. I mean, Joe Burrow said receivers weren't getting enough separation. Again, that's not an excuse. Losing Ja'Marr Chase is not an excuse for this offense to go completely off the rails and not score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. I mean, what are we talking about? But a part of that is because they can't run the ball. And that's been an issue that's been masked. But when you look at like Buffalo and Kansas City, they rank number 1 and number 2 in points per game. The Bengals rank number 12. So Kansas City and Buffalo are a combined 11-3. So again, this all goes back to NFL teams ride and die with their offense. And right now, like, the reason I keep bringing up Buffalo and Kansas City is because, like, that's who the Bengals will have to run through if they want to make another championship run. But here is the deal with Mixon. And it was, like, kind of even blew my mind more than I thought it was going to. And this needs to be the number one thing they address in the bye week. And I don't know if at this point you throw the run scheme out of, like, in the trash and start from scratch with your run scheme. I don't know what you do. But Joe Mixon ranks number 4 in the league in carries this year. And ranks number 3 in touches, but ranks 21 in yards. So the stark disconnect there with the Bengals are giving him the ball, whether it's handing it off to him or Joe Burrow's throwing him a check down. He's not making people miss, and he's not taking advantage of the time he does have the ball in his hands. And I think bottom line, like, that's that's an issue for them. And I don't know how they fix it at this point in the season, because it's not like, I mean, everybody keeps asking, why doesn't Chris Evans play more? For whatever reason, the Bengals don't appear to want to be interested in Chris Evans playing for them. Zach Taylor was asked about it yesterday, and he says he serves a role for us. That role is one or two plays a game, and that's it. So there's not a young, you know, fresh running back on the roster that they can just plug right in. And you're not going to – I mean, you're paying Joe Mixon a lot of money, and he was a Pro Bowl running back. And it's not like you're going to suddenly start giving Samaje Perine, you know, all Mixon's snaps. But the Bengals' biggest problem is they don't have another back on the roster. And I think they – I don't know, but who saw this coming with Mixon? I mean, it's easy to be like, yeah, running back in his sixth year, but – again, he was a Pro Bowler last year. So that's what's like wild about the whole thing.
It is. It's baffling. But just the fall off with him. And, you know, we can only take it for the word that they give us and what we see on the field, the performance. And it is quite the drop off. And I think you're only left with that question of, is, like I said earlier, are we seeing kind of the tail end of Joe Mixon's career? And right. You know, he's been a great player for them. He's been a great guy for them in their locker room. You know, there's a lot of questions coming in about him off the field when he came into the league, and he's been a great citizen. And you know, so this isn't a criticism of anything really around him. It just, you know, it's life, right. And it's life. It's especially of that position. And it's amazing to think like that if that is the case, and you know, something doesn't change drastically with him, that how much that's affected this team. And I just. You know, and Kelsey, you know, you mentioned earlier in Buffalo and Kansas City, and I know those are the two elite teams, but I would also throw in Tennessee. I mean, those guys are playing well. Certainly, they're not in a real strong division, but they're playing well, and the Bengals have to go there. You know, the weekend of Thanksgiving weekend. So, I just, you know, you're going to hit cold weather. You're going to hit these good teams. You've got Ja'Marr Chase out. The onus is now even more on the running game to really step up. And, you know, what could have been, you know, masked, I guess, with when you've got Ja'Marr Chase and, you know, the passing game really going well, is no longer masked. Like, it's all exposed. It's out there for the open for everyone to see that the Bengals have huge problems in the running game. And I think we can sit here and just say that we're stumped in terms of what's the answer for fixing it, because I don't think there's a quick fix.
Right, for sure. So let's talk about the Panthers. Some, like you mentioned, this isn't going to be an easy win. Obviously, when you started the season, you for sure penciled this in as a win. But the Panthers, since they fired Matt Rhule, have looked revitalized, and they've given some teams a run for their money. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They almost beat the Atlanta Falcons last week, had that kicker not miss the field goal. So I think they're going to scrap this one out with the Bengals. But again, even if the Bengals beat the Panthers, does that make you feel any better? You know?
No, that's exactly. I was just thinking about that before we started recording, that very thing. Like, let's say they go out and beat the Panthers the way they beat the Falcons at home a couple weeks ago. And, well, that's what they're supposed to do. That's what you would expect them to do. And it's like, I thought that very thing. Like, let's say they go and blow them out, or heaven forbid they go and you know, lose, or they only win by a field goal or something. I think no matter what, you just feel like right now it's just going to take more than one game and one win to you know, start to feel like, you know, that this team is, you know, really fully turned it around and heading in, you know, sort of that playoff mode direction. And I don't think, yeah, you're right. Like against a team like Carolina, I don't think we can take a whole lot from it one way or the other in terms of whether it's a blowout or a close win. And of course, certainly if it's a loss, then goodness gracious, the whole fan base is going to melt down. But, you talk about Carolina and you're right. Like the last 2 weeks and they beat Tampa Bay at home. They blow them out basically. And then they go on the road and lose in overtime in Atlanta. But you know, PJ Walker was what their third, fourth string quarterback going into the season. And he's been thrust into action. He played in the XFL, undrafted free agent out of Temple. And, you know, he's really kind of, you know, like you said, revitalized them. And they seem to be playing like a team that's like, hey, wait, you got rid of our coach. You traded Christian McCaffrey, our best player. We've had all these injuries. And so now it's guys who are probably, you know, a handful of fringe NFL players who are like out to prove something. And, you know, I wrote in my column today, like they really don't have anything to lose. They're not going anywhere in terms of the playoffs. So, heck yeah, they'd love to come in here to Cincinnati and knock off the defending AFC champions. So I think the Bengals are, you know, I know they know this, but I think people should expect this team to come in here and be scrappy and competitive and, you know, continue to be competitive the way they've been the last couple of weeks.
For sure.
I don't know. I got the Bengals winning, Kels, but, yeah. You're exactly, and that's such a great point about, do you feel better one way or the other, where it's a close win or a blowout win about this Bengals team? And, I mean, I think we're certainly looking for things like, can Joe Mixon have his best game of the season or nearly his best game of the season? I think you're going to look for, will the offensive line protect Joe Burrow better? Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, those certainly would be positives. And, you know, going into the bye week, you want to be 5-4. And, you know, they got some good news yesterday with, you know, Zach Taylor said DJ Reader is expected back after the bye. So that's certainly, I think, a positive thing for the team, and especially a defense that's, you know, been really gashed on the ground in recent games. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's bring in Charlie Goldsmith to talk about the upcoming matchup with the Panthers.
All right, cool. We got Charlie Goldsmith here in our X's and O's segment. And Charlie, you know, you heard Kelsey and I kind of breaking some things down there. But when you look at more drill down into the matchups here, what do you see as some key matchups in this game coming up Sunday?
Yeah, I think the number one reason the Bengals passing game struggled in particular on Monday night is look at some of those big plays like the strip sack fumble and the sack on the Bengals' first drive of the third quarter, and there are a couple others as well. It was blitz pickups and it was one-on-one matchups on the Bengals' offensive line versus the Browns' defensive line when Cleveland brought pressure. And the number one thing I look at is, do the Bengals have a better, more well-executed plan for when pressure comes their way? The Panthers are another team with a star edge rusher. The Bengals have to be more sound, have to be smarter, have to be, again, a team that looks like they know what they're doing when the Panthers bring a lot of heavy pressure their way. Because when the Browns did that, even though Higgins and Boyd were open most of those times, they still weren't able to get them the ball.
Hey, Charlie, talk about that overall Carolina defense. Is it better than Cleveland's defense? You know, sort of the overall, you know, you talked a little about the rush there, but overall, you know, in terms of the defenses, you know, the Bengals have played this year, but what do you see in Carolina? Are they going to give the Bengals a tough game?
It's funny, like, I hadn't really thought about this much. It might be a better defense than the defense the Bengals saw on Monday night. Obviously, Cleveland was missing three linebackers. Their star corner had a real weakness up the middle at defensive tackle. You know, the Panthers have a star edge rusher, a balanced front with a guy like Brown up the middle at defensive tackle. Joe Burrow mentioned that they don't have a weakness in the secondary in terms of, like, there's not the one quarterback who they'll try to target over and over again. Jackson on the outside is a physical player, and the Browns have the worst safeties and coverage in all of football, so the Panthers have to be better than that. So it's a good point, actually. Or it's a good point, really, I hadn't thought about before. You know, Panthers present more challenges this week than the Browns presented last week, with the exception of, you know, Burns isn't quite on Myles Garrett's level.
Yeah. Going to the other side of the ball, and, you know, a couple of guys that Carolina really wasn't expecting a whole lot from this year have now really turned it on the last few weeks. Certainly, you know, the original third string quarterback and PJ Walker. Talk about him, and you know, he's really kind of rejuvenated, as Kelsey used that word, and I think it's a good word for this Carolina team. He's kind of, you know, sort of injected some life into this team after they fired their coach and traded their running back. And what kind of quarterback is he, and why has he been so successful, you know, the last few weeks?
I like what they've done. They kind of have let him be who he is, and they've kind of started to trust him. I don't have the chart up in front of me, but I believe in the first game he maybe completed one pass behind or past the line of scrimmage. Over the entire game, everything was check downs or screens, and the Panthers weren't running a game plan that trusted who he is. They didn't do that because he's a gunslinger. He's a guy that's going to force throws into tight windows. Look at what Joe Burrow's strengths are, getting the ball out quickly on time and at the place the defense is telling you to do so. That's not necessarily the style Walker has. He's very much on the more aggressive side, and they've let him force more throws. He can be turnover prone. You know, you saw in the first half against Atlanta, there's no easy button with the Panthers offense. You obviously got to double team more and make everyone else beat you. But he throws a quick ball. And again, they've let him kind of take more chances, which is something that someone like, say, Jesse Bates in particular should be able to take advantage of. But hey, it's worked for the Panthers over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And also, you know, the running game has been really good. Foreman, again, another guy who was, you know, kind of third string on the depth chart, or really viewed as sort of the third running back on this team, has come out the last 2 weeks in back-to-back 118-yard games. He had three touchdowns last week against Atlanta. You know, is that so? When you look at this team, do you fully expect them to try to take advantage of a run defense that's or of a team that's really struggled in run defense in recent weeks?
Yeah, for sure. Foreman's just a downhill runner. No nonsense. Like, kind of reminds me of Samaje Perine. He's probably a little better than Perine. Hey, he's been consistent. It's been a lot of power runs. He's just a physical, hard-nosed player who goes straight. And there's something to say about that style of rushing attack. The Panthers have been relying on the run a ton because they just have so many moving pieces on the entire offense. And, you know, again, I'm not sure it's going to be the most sustainable for the Panthers long-term. The Bengals were really good stopping the run, I thought, on Monday night until Chidobe Awuzie's injury. That forced them to, like, allocate more resources into the secondary. So the big question I have about the Bengals' defense is, you know, in their first full game without Awuzie, when they have a full game plan or week-to-game plan with the personnel they have, how much do they trust their run defense versus how much do they trust their passing defense? And where do they throw in those, like, swing players like Logan Wilson or Von Bell? Do they play them deep to try to take away receivers? Or do they feel like they still need more help up front with DJ Reader out?
No, it's great stuff, Charlie. And I think we've lost Kelsey. Anyway, Charlie, we'll catch you on Twitter at Charlie G on two underscores. That's right. I got that right.
Correct.
Throughout the game, I want folks to know, like, Charlie is, he's taking all this stuff that he talks about on the podcast, you know, and he's seeing all these matchups, and on Twitter is a really good follow as you're kind of looking at what's going on more on a detailed level during the game. And I certainly know that I you're a must follow for me, Charlie. Obviously you're my teammate, but also I learn a lot from from you on the, on some of these matchups. And, you know, so follow Charlie on Twitter throughout the game, because he's talking about a lot of these things. He's breaking it down and showing you, hey, this is what happened here on these, on this play or this drive, or you know, during those last two series or whatever. So at Charlie G, 2 underscores on Twitter. And Charlie, we will, I was going to say, we'll catch you next week, but you know, on the bye week, we'll catch you in a couple weeks on the podcast, but I'll see you on Sunday at Paycor Stadium.
Thanks, Jason. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks again to Charlie, and thanks to Kelsey too. We have some technical difficulties. So want to remind folks to sign up on Cincinnati.com for our Bengals newsletter. You get all of our coverage, my columns, Kelsey's reports throughout the week, Charlie's reports throughout the week, this podcast, everything is sort of all packaged there in one email for you, one newsletter email. So sign up for that on Cincinnati.com. Like I said, follow Charlie on Twitter, follow me on Twitter at JWilliamsCincy with a Y, and at Kelsey L. Conway on Twitter. We'll have full coverage of the Carolina Panthers game on Sunday. You know, our coverage, Cincinnati.com. We got Charlie's game story. We've got Kelsey's analysis of what happened, why things worked, why things didn't work. It's a must read every week. And then my column comes out a little later after the game, and then certainly is promoted on Cincinnati.com on Monday morning. So, you know, we've got full comprehensive coverage, and send us your questions. Let us know on Twitter. Our emails are on our stories on Cincinnati.com. So let us know your questions throughout the game, what you want us to talk about, even maybe on this podcast, as we wrap up the Carolina game coming up on Monday. And we will catch you on Monday for the next podcast after the Panthers game.